Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today on Daily Pop, we honor the life of Bob Saget. The Full House star passed away over the weekend. Justin and Morgan are out today, so I am joined by super producer Mona Scott Young. Thank you so much for joining us, Mona. Yesterday, we were all shocked and heartbroken over the news of Bob's death at the young age of 65. He was found dead in his hotel room in Orlando. We're told that there were no signs of foul play or drug use. Bob lived an amazing life and was loved by not only his family and friends, but by fans who grew up watching him on TV.
Can you say yippee-i-yo-ki-yay?
No.
Full House Day should be a holiday that you don't go to school.
Bob Saget became America's dad when he starred as Danny Tanner on the hit 90s sitcom Full House.
I love you.
I love you too.
He loves his family and loves people and wants to take care of them and do the right thing.
Fans were thrilled when the Tanners reunited on Fuller House over 20 years later.
They let me grow a little bit more in terms of, I don't know, being more of a curmudgeon and being a guy who's 60 and can't deal with it. I look 58, maybe, it depends on the lens.
It is so sweet that you guys came up here to celebrate the day we all became a family.
Danny Tanner may have been his most famous role, but there were many more. He hosted America's Funniest Home Videos, was the narrator on How I Met Your Mother, and even played a bad boy version of himself in Entourage.
I'm a big fan, Vince. So are my daughters. But do me a favor, don't my daughter.
I say the F word, unfortunately, as a verb in the series.
Bob will be remembered for his charity work, his loving personality, and of course, his comedy. He was on a stand-up tour when he passed away. His last show was Saturday in Florida. He posted on Instagram giving a shout out to the really nice audience, saying he's finding his new voice and loving every moment of it.
I want to make people laugh.
And boy, was he good at it.
You knew what you were getting.
I like it.
Stamos invited me to stay over because I think he wants to make his move.
Bob was also a family man. He has three daughters with his ex, Sherry Kramer, and has been married to Kelly Rizzo since 2018. In a statement to E!, his family says he was everything to us, and we want you to know how much he loved his fans, performing live, and bringing people from all walks of life together with laughter.
Sending love. I know some people are cynical. Love, oh my God. But it's good stuff. I mean, that's what we need to do. Have some love and some connection with people, even if we don't agree with them.
Man, just a horrible, horrible loss. Bob's Full House family is heartbroken. John Stamos says that he is gutted and in utter shock. Candace Cameron Bure shared this picture and wrote, 35 years wasn't long enough. And Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen said they are deeply saddened that he is no longer with us, but know that he will continue to be by our side as he to guide us gracefully as he always has.
So sad.
Yeah, just a shock. I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and just everybody was really just in disbelief.
I feel like he was our first, like, dad, the first girl dad.
And he was a single dad.
Exactly,
you know?
The first single girl dad. And it's just, I don't know, this year is already starting off with so much death.
There's a lot of loss this year already.
Yeah. And Toomey passed away yesterday.
Yeah,
we
lost Sidney Poitier on Friday, and Betty White.
Betty White weeks before her.
Right. So a lot of people are not loving how we're coming into the year. Mm. And obviously, this is a horrible, horrible loss to everyone. So later, we're going to be talking with actress Melissa Peterman about what it was like to work with Bob. We're going to try to lighten things up a little bit and move on to Ben Affleck, because apparently he does not care what y'all think about him.
I'm with Ben.
He tells the LA Times that he is counting down the days until he turns 50 and explains the common thread I found from people who turn 50 who are the happiest is that they've stopped worrying so much about what other people think. So is it really possible to hit an age where you no longer are worried about other people's opinion? Mona, I'm going to let you.
I'm with him on that. I mean, listen, on my Instagram, my headline says, if they don't know you personally, don't take it personal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's got to be the point where you're just like, I know who I am.
Yes.
I know what I'm about. I cannot let myself be, dictated by what other people who don't even know me think about me.
Especially when you're a celebrity, right? Because we know that they get so
when
much
you're in the public eye.
When you're in the public eye, period.
People have an opinion about you. They sit at home and decide they know who you are.
Yes.
And that's what they
You get this a lot. I know you
absolutely.
Get this because you,
know you
produce shows like Love & Hip Hop that show the highs and lows of people's lives. Anytime I feel like there's a reality show involved, you get a lot of judgment if you're the creator or the producer. I've seen a lot of people come for Andy Cohen. So how do you deal with like the people who are like, you're just about negativity.
Listen, I'm with Ben. You have to stop caring. You have to stop driving yourself crazy thinking that what these people are saying is law.
Right.
You know,
right.
My husband has this thing that he does. He goes onto people's pages, and most of the time it's an egg with some bizarre description of who they are and what they do for a living. And he's like, this is the person that's
most
got you in the fetal position. Like
1,000%. I feel like people who are positive, who are out there getting it, who are working, don't even have time
to care.
Right, exactly.
So I'm with Ben. He's absolutely right. You cannot live your life by what other people think.
I'm here for that. I've just now hit that stride of like, whatever. Somebody tried to troll me yesterday, and I was like, I don't care.
Yes. As long as you know, God knows.
Argue with yourself.
Yeah.
Ben also claims that he doesn't care if his movies are successful. We got to talk about this.
Okay.
Because he says, I am not preoccupied with notions of success or failure about money or commercial success, because those things really corrupt your choices. Mm. Then what happens is the movies are less interesting and you're less good. I wonder.
I understand the idea that you don't want your choices to be dictated by your monetary gain, but I do think he cares. I mean, there's no way that you can have pride in your craft and, you know, go, I don't care if this is a success or a failure. I mean, isn't that what your entire, like, compensation is based on?
Being successful? I feel like successful people are innately competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's innate competitiveness in you. It doesn't mean it's a negative thing,
but
I think you want to win. You want to
Healthy competition.
You want that. I feel like he would feel away if everything he did just
was a failure.
Yeah.
And you want to be good at what you do. You want to know that, you know, you've nailed it and people are, you know, giving you accolades for your hard work. So I don't know about that one, Ben.
I don't know if I agree with that. It sounds good, though. It sounds really good, Ben. I just don't know.
Very lofty and very.
I mean, he is with J-Lo now, so maybe nothing matters now that he is with J-Lo. He probably don't care about that bag anymore, Mona. Let's move on to Kristen Davis, because she's keeping it real about aging in Hollywood. So the Sex and the City star tells New Beauty magazine that it can be very stressful to, quote, be aging and be compared to your much, much younger self. If I was from a regular life, I would feel fine, but no, I'm on television where every bit of my physical is being analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mona, you've hosted shows. You're on a show right now. How do you feel about people analyzing your looks?
I mean, the thing for me is that I feel like I'm perennially young, right? Like, I'm in my mid-50s, but I still feel young at heart.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I don't feel like I subscribe to the, you know, I'm being judged by the way I look.
Yeah.
And I'm also not...
You're also a black woman.
I'm in front of the camera right now.
You're 92. But... I just need you to know that.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, black don't crack. But yeah, people are always surprised when I tell them how old I am. But I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much. But again, I do believe that you are as old as you feel.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm still as vital, as active, as energetic.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, sometimes the hip says a little something different.
The knees start to crack over 35.
I drop it like it's lukewarm these days, no longer like it's hot. But, I don't know. It's not the same thing for her, I'm sure.
I feel like a show like Sex and the City is very glamorous, it's about looks. So I think if she was on a different type of show, she would probably still have people judging her for her looks. But this show is about, like, being the height of fashion and glam and living in New York and living this fabulous life. So we saw them kind of frozen in time, and now we're seeing them again. Exactly, so people are like, oh, you got older. But
what
I like
concept.
That.
Right. Years went by and you aged.
I mean, listen,
they're all beautiful. I still think they all look great. So.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, you're not going to be, I think you have to come to just some type of realization with age.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just definitely hard to do in the public eye when
embrace
everybody criticizes
it.
Just everything, single thing that you do. So we got more to talk about today, you guys. Still ahead, we are going to remember Bob Saget, and we're going to talk with his former co-star, Melissa Peterman. Plus, the Golden Globes had a quiet night last night. Did you even know that it happened? History was made, and we're going to fill you in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. So we have been talking about the shocking death of Bob Saget over the weekend. So joining us now to share some memories with him about him is Melissa Peterman, who worked with Bob on Surviving Suburbia. Hey, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
We just really want to talk about Bob right now. We've been watching a lot of the tributes, and I know you worked with him personally. So can you tell me what he was like, what he was like to work with?
Well, I obviously didn't get to work with him at, like, his fabulous full and Fuller House cast all the time, but I was lucky enough, like so many people in Hollywood, to have some time with him. And I auditioned to play his wife on Surviving Suburbia, and which was a nerve-wracking audition. And he came and he read with me, and he improvised with me. He made me feel so welcome and not nervous. And clearly I did not get the part. The amazing, brilliantly funny Cynthia Stevenson was the right fit, but I ended up coming on and getting to do some guest stars on Surviving Suburbia. And he was exactly the same way on set. He was just lovely and warm and hilarious. And, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you've been reading some of these tributes. Mm-hmm. I also got to go see do stand up, and it was very different from America's Dad. It was filthy and funny. And I mean, it's that shock of like, wait, that's America's sweetheart. Yeah. You know, that's America's Dad. But he was so great about that line. Like, he could go do his stand up and be that guy and that funny guy, and also be that warm, you know, loving gentleman on set. And he was just really funny and warm. And I also recently got to do Nashville Squares. He hosted that.
Yeah.
And like, again, he was the host, and in every sense of the word, he made everyone on that set feel so welcome and warm and ready to play.
That's what I was going to say, Melissa. Yeah. Reading all of the kind of accolades and the, you know, the memories that people have of him, he just seemed like the nicest guy. You know, very rarely do you get a sense from what people are saying.
Yeah.
What's your favorite memory?
You know, he would do different takes on sets, like, and they would always be hilarious. And then he would always go, was that funny? And we're like, of course it was funny. We're all laughing hysterically. And watching him with the kids too, like, you could see that there's, you know, a lot of, you know, stand-ups and, you know, comics and comedians and actors, like, you know, you're on a set and, you know, when there's kids around, sometimes you have to, he never had to worry about him. He made sure the kids were felt safe and warm. And it was a great place for them to be on the set too. And he was just
really well, yeah, like, with, you know, having the adult comedy, but still being able
and
to kind of
being
go back
kid friendly,
and be like kid friendly, which is a weird thing to do.
I think that's the best compliment when your peers have amazing things to say about you when you've passed
and
on.
And you haven't heard a bad word about Bob when, you know, in his waking life. And now, like, people loved working with him, and he was a joy to be around. We've interviewed him here at E! News, and he's always been very pleasant. So, Melissa, we really appreciate you sharing just, you know, those little tidbits just to let us know what a warm soul he was and how much he really will be missed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
Thank you.
We'll
good
see
to see you again,
Thank
Melissa.
You. Listen, you guys, we're going to talk more about Bob later, but the Golden Globes were last night. And if you missed it, you're not alone.
Everyone missed it.
The show was not televised or live streamed.
Or talked about or mentioned.
When, if you were on Twitter, you may have seen, people tweeting about who the winners were. And so we'll share that with you. But there were some big winners. So Nicole Kidman got Best Actress for Being the Ricardos. Will Smith won Best Actor for King Richard. And Kate Winslet got the Globe for Mayor of Easttown. And West Side Story took home 3 awards, major ones, by the way. But the real highlight of the evening was MJ Rodriguez, who made history, becoming the first trans actress to win a Golden Globe for her work on Pose.
Love that.
MJ is the sweetest person you will ever meet.
Oh my goodness.
And so just so well deserved.
I mean, listen, that is a major barrier knocked down, a major ceiling caved in. I love it. Congrats. I'm just so happy to see this happening.
I'm happy to see it. If you go to MJ's Instagram, there's a whole speech there. So please make sure to check that out. Okay, you guys, up next, Selling Sunset star Emma Hernan is here to talk about catfights, breakups, and why she is hanging out with Cindy Crawford. Stay with us.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I was with him for 2.5 years. He proposed to me.
He proposed to you?
Yes.
He definitely didn't mention that he proposed to you.
Obviously, as you know, he proposed to me. And so that was the first time he proposed to anybody.
2 months,
and,
two months later.
I'm listening to her lie over and over again. I'm the only person that my ex has ever proposed to. I know that. Everyone around us knows that. She's just delusional.
Ooh, okay, you guys know this is one of my favorite shows on TV right now. Things definitely got a little tense this season on Selling Sunset. So here to tell us all about it is Emma Hernan. Emma, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Emma.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, I know that you just joined the cast this season. There, you came in hot. Like, there was drama as soon as you touched down. Let me ask you this.
Oh, yeah, I came in like a rocket. I came in hot.
Initially, we know that Christine was not happy about you joining the cast. Mm-hmm. Were you trepidatious in any way of joining, knowing that you would have to confront her eventually?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was my hesitation for sure when joining the show. You know, I didn't really want to have to deal with that because I've dealt with it for so long and so many years and such negative energy and things like that that had to do with that. But in the same breath, you know, it was an opportunity for me to go out there and show everything that I've accomplished and you can be a good person, everything else. But of course, yeah, there was some hesitation when it came to coming on when I had to deal with that situation.
I can imagine.
Like Nina said, you came in with a bang, but Chrishell just tweeted that she agrees with the viewers finding you annoying.
No, her annoying. Chrishell finding herself annoying.
Oh, finding herself annoying. Oh, okay. That's what I was a little confused about. But there's always that thing when you start a show, how you're portrayed, not liking it. What did you feel about the way you were portrayed? Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely feel like they portrayed me in, you know, how I am. I've worked really hard my entire life. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, accomplished a lot on my own as a woman entrepreneur. So they definitely showed that. I do think I'm a little bit goofy and funnier in person, but I mean, I think you'll see that more in season 5.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you a little bit more about the drama because we know season 5 is coming and I know people are amped up about what we're going to see. Let's talk a little bit about Chrishell because we saw like this, you know, relationship be teased and now we know there's a split. Are they going to cover the split on the new season?
I think for sure you'll see, you know, the relationship unfold and everything go down on season 5. So you'll kind of see the ups and downs and everything like that.
Oh boy, okay.
Yeah, and then you guys had
But
Cindy...
they have...
Oh no, I was gonna say, you guys had Cindy Crawford join you on your trip. What was that like?
Amazing. I mean, she is probably one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my entire life. And having her at my birthday was, you know, once in a lifetime. You don't get to party with supermodels on your birthday that often. So it was a great birthday, to say the least.
So would you say reality has been good to you?
Mom on the side, and my mom's like my best friend.
You're enjoying this. You're having a good time.
Yes, exactly. It definitely has. You know, but I'm definitely enjoying it. It's been a fun ride for sure. And it's fun to open up my life, even though obviously it's a little bit shocking, you know, having everyone so interested. But, you know, having people, you know, be interested in your life comes with the territory.
Do you think that there will ever be a chance, because I'm like, I enjoy talking about vacations, but I want to get back to this show. So do you think there will ever be a chance or a world where you and Christine can reconcile?
Zero.
Oh, not zero. Duh.
I mean, we're just zero. I mean, I'm sorry. We're just we're two opposite. I mean, if you could pick two more opposite people in the entire world, that would be the two of us. And we're on completely different ends of the spectrum. And I've tried for, you know, so long. And I've, you know, you've seen it with the other girls as well. But, you know, it's not only me, but she's done things that are really below the belt to people that I care about and genuinely love. So for me, I just, there's no hope.
There was a moment in the season I have to ask you about that I've been dying to know, where Christine says that she's moved on, she doesn't care about you. And then there was a moment where she mentioned she saw your car outside of her ex's house. Were you surprised to hear that?
I mean, come on.
That she did a drive-by? Were you like, wait a minute. Because nobody really talked about that.
No, that's the thing, though. It's like nothing surprises me. That's the thing. Nothing surprises me in the slightest bit. It's unsettling, and, you know, I would never do that. I'm completely different when it comes to that. But at the same time, it's not shocking, not surprising at all. And, you know, all the girls and Jason and Brett, no one's surprised by anything that happens, for sure.
Well,
but clearly, I mean, there's still an infatuation there. I don't know.
There was something going on there. And I saw that obviously you and Chrishell, we just talked about, were in Mexico. Are you a single girl right now? Or are you dating?
I'm single and living my best life. And if a guy happens to pop in, we'll see what happens. But right now I'm single, enjoying life.
Okay.
I'm curious, you guys filmed the next season already. Are there more bombshells, more surprises, more things to expect?
Oh, if you thought season 4 was good, stay tuned for season 5. There's a lot of bombshells, a lot of bombs being dropped, for sure, yeah.
So we just got warmed up.
A lot of drama.
Well, Emma, you seem like you're taking it in stride.
Amazing homes, though.
You're taking it in stride,
yes, exactly.
So good for you.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm riding the wave. I'm riding this fun roller coaster.
I can't wait to see more. And thank you so much for joining us. We have to have you back in studio soon when it's safe. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Bye. Selling Sunset is now streaming on Netflix. You guys make sure you watch. Coming up, another twist in Kim Kardashian's relationship with Pete Davidson. What we busted him doing. Plus, the reality star who just got his first tattoo of his fiance's name. We need to know if he's going to regret this. We're going to discuss.
Oh, yeah, he's going to regret it.
Welcome back to Nightly Pop. So it is time to talk relationships. So we are bringing in dating coach and author Monique Kelly. Thank you so much for joining us. And I think we're just going to keep you for the rest of the show. So even if we're not talking about relationships, just stick around. Let's talk a little bit about Kim Kardashian, shall we? Because she has taken a big step in her new relationship with Pete Davidson. So they just went on a romantic vacation in the Bahamas. And Pete has even been seen cruising around in Kim's custom Rolls Royce, which is a beautiful, beautiful car. A lot of people are very protective with those vehicles, especially one like this that costs six figures. Y'all let your man drive your car? In this situation, Moni, you married, but if he was just dating.
When do you let your man drive? When he can pay for it. If he wrecks it, when he could buy me a brand new one, he's free to drive the car as much as he likes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love having a man drive my car after we've gone out to dinner. When I've gone to a party, you have a nice designated driver.
Right.
And, like, I just like, if I'm going on a date, for my man to drive.
Even if he's driving your car, not his own car?
Even if he's driving, as long as he has his own car.
Okay.
But even if he's driving my car, it's not a problem at all. Now, I'm not going to really necessarily let him drive my car when I'm not in it. Mm. I'm not going to say, just go take my car.
Running errands without you in your car.
I'm with Mona on that. You know, you're not going to take my car.
Don't even know your car's gone. He's running around town.
Yeah, running errands.
Another girl in the passenger side. Oh, I'm sorry. I digress.
If I had this, I would have the windows down. I would be in Kim's car showing off too. This is a beautiful vehicle. This is a pricey vehicle too to just let somebody drive.
He's living his best Kardashian life.
He is.
This is not his Staten Island life that he is used to. This is a Kim Kardashian's world, okay? But I guess, you know, he does have his own thing. He is a celebrity in his own right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like he couldn't buy his own if he wanted it.
Yeah, and I think it's making a statement for Kim to let him drive the car. It's almost like, I trust you, and I'm letting you know you are my man, and I'm letting the world know you're
my man. She's just trying to annoy Kanye.
Yes. I was about to say,
that was a message not for me. That was a message for Kanye.
They're both kind of sending shots right now.
I know.
This is each way.
Shots are being fired.
Yeah, shots are being fired.
The suite with the wardrobe was too much.
That was so obvious.
It was so over the top. It was like.
So this is Kim's, you know, Kim went on vacation, so they have their own thing. Let's move on, though, you guys, and talk about Portia Williams, because this is another debatable topic. So her fiance, Simon, has put a ring on it, and apparently that was not enough. So he decided to get a more permanent thing done by getting her inked on his back. Portia shared the video of the process on her Instagram and called Simon her ride or die in the caption. So he now has her name on his back.
How long have they been together again?
I feel like there should be
some kind of a time frame before you ink someone permanently on your body. Like, it's got to be 12 months or more.
I mean, more than that. 12 months?
I'm just saying, this has been like, what, three months, six months?
It hasn't been that long.
It hasn't been a year.
Since mid-2021. So it hasn't even been a year. But let's not also forget her ex-fiancé, Dennis, also got her tattooed on him. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like this is her thing.
She's creating like a tribe of men walking around with the word
Portia's name on it. Yes. I feel like, first of all, kudos to Portia for getting all these men to put her name.
Yes.
I mean, clearly she's doing something right, okay? But I feel like a tattoo, it's so permanent. And I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Wait a while before you do that.
I just don't get the point.
The only name that doesn't change is my own.
Right.
Maybe my kids. I will put, you know, and even then, like,
my
husband got an initial, okay? He got an S.
Okay. And you've been married for how long?
Oh, we've been together 26 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, get the tattoo at that point.
That makes sense.
But, you know, in these days, I'll just say this. Any relationship that starts within a reality show is always a little questionable. I don't know if y'all saw these clips of the show over the weekend of fighting, and it just doesn't seem like the most stable place.
It doesn't. And I feel like she's still low-key, still in love with the ex, Dennis.
Really?
Yes, okay. I agree. Yeah, this is going to be tricky. The good thing is laser surgery these days to remove for tattoos is not
the
that
good thing is there are a lot of women named Portia.
I mean, not that we're saying Portia,
this isn't going to last. God bless. I wish you guys
the best. You don't think it's going to last?
No, I said not that we're saying it's not going to last.
What do you think, Mona? Do you think this is going
to
last?
It is hard to say, only because I would love to see all of, you know, my cast, and not that Portia's part of my cast, but when they all get into these relationships, I'd love to see them take it a little bit more slowly.
Yeah.
Because you need time to get to know each other. You need time to go on the ride, the roller coaster ride that is gonna happen.
You've been in reality, producing reality TV for how many years?
12, 13 years?
Okay, 12,
exactly.
13 years.
Yeah,
on a scale
classic.
Of 1 to 10, how a 10 being this relationship is gonna last, what do you give this?
Oh, Jesus, don't put me on the spot.
This is your opinion, but you're an expert.
It is because I haven't been close enough to them to really gauge what the interaction is like. I do believe that Portia loves the institution of being in love and so will work hard to make this relationship work. I don't know him at all, so I have no sense of, you know, just what I'm seeing on the outside. Oh, God, I got to give a prediction?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say,
you're the expert.
7-ish.
Okay.
And the reason I'm on the, and I think 7 is on the low side.
Oh, so I think 7
I feel
is
like
high.
You're being generous.
Really?
7 is high.
You're being generous.
Because TV, the attention, the scrutiny, the opinions, the things that come out of the woodworks, it makes it very challenging.
Okay.
And that's why I think a relationship that hasn't had a chance to get strong on its own without that.
Well, good for you. Because I give it a 2.
Right.
So, right.
But she's going to make it to the wedding. She's going to make sure that show gets a wedding. The wedding's going to happen, and I give it a year because, you know, that's going to be a good show.
So you're giving it a low score as
well. I'm giving it, you know, I wish you the best, girl, but I give it a year.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that fight from the show from this weekend, they lucky I don't give it a zero, because that was very...
Wow.
I don't think anybody who is doing anything like that should be focused on marriage. I think they should be focused on themselves. If you fight in a bar, marriage should not be the first stop.
Right. Yeah.
He got that tattoo. He's going to have to work it out.
Yeah.
And
I will say that the show, if you're watching the show, which it is very entertaining to watch, I will say I was very skeptical about the fiance. He's the most normal one on the show.
He's stable. He's a man.
Well, listen, we got to talk about this more, because I'm very interested to hear everybody's thoughts. But if you're struggling to get your family healthy for the new year, it's hard to get started. We got some notes for you to take, because Kelly Signe, who you guys know from the Food Network, is the founder of JustATaste.com. She's going to give us some tips on how to get your kids to eat those greens.
Nutrition is always on trend. So these are my top 5 tips for how to get your whole family to eat healthier. Tip number 1, amp up that H2O. I like to turn to the fruit bowl and some fresh herbs to ensure that we're packing flavor into every single sip without tons of extra sugar. Consider creative combos like tangerine and cucumber, strawberry and thyme, or grab the melon ball scooper for my kids' personal favorite, cantaloupe and blueberry. Tip number 2, lean on the familiar. If you're hoping to get cauliflower on the menu, try it first in raw form with a dipping sauce. And if that doesn't work, there's always good old cauliflower tots. And when in doubt, turn to cauliflower crust pizza. Tip number 3 is repetition times 3. Don't get discouraged if a child won't go for a new food, especially if it's healthy, on the first attempt. Oftentimes, it'll take 3, 4, even 5 attempts for a child to enjoy a new food. Tip number 4, get your kids in the kitchen with you. When kids are involved in cooking, they feel a sense of ownership, and they are way more likely to eat what you and they are cooking. It's also a great way to introduce knife skills early on. Tip number 5, don't make a big deal about it. Anytime I want my kids to eat a healthier food item, I simply put it on their plates. I don't draw attention to it, I don't even tell them about it. And then my husband and I lead by example, eating that same food item. And suddenly, they're open to the idea of healthier eating.
Oh, I missed the whole thing.
Oh my goodness, you guys. Make sure that you were taking notes, unlike Mona over here. Husband's tweet about his wife working hard set off a huge debate on Twitter that I was a part of. When we come back. Welcome back. It is time for a pop of love. So Josh Duhamel proposed to his girlfriend, Aurora Mari, his girlfriend of 2 years, with a message in a bottle that said, "Will you marry me?" Aww. How cute is that? So congratulations to them. Now, you guys, to show support, his ex-wife Fergie tweeted or posted a sweet message of congratulations with hearts.
Oh,
so we have to be real.
Yes.
Do we think she's really happy for him?
Absolutely, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Because not all exes are bad exes.
Right.
So when
Absolutely.
It's a good guy, you're actually happy, happy for you. But when with an ex that you know is a fool,
right?
Usually you're not mad at him. You're worried for the girl. You're like, girl, good luck, honey, because...
But they've been broken up a long time.
Yeah,
so at that point, they're probably still friends.
Yeah.
And she probably is very happy.
And they co-parent. So I feel
absolutely.
I've never heard anything bad about the two of them and after their split. Like, it seems like they're both, from what I hear, amazing people.
Yeah.
And they have a really great co-parenting situation. So it doesn't feel like there's anything toxic. Allegedly think Fergie is single. So is it harder to wish an ex well when you're still single?
I think when you break up with someone, naturally, it's always like you want to be in a relationship first, kind of in the beginning.
Right.
But then after a few years, you're okay with it. You're kind of like, you know what? I'm happy for you, and I'm going to keep it classy.
I just genuinely don't care. Once we're gone, it's
done. Yeah. And I think sometimes when you're not in a relationship, somewhere in the back of your brain, if they're single as well, it's still kind of there. So once they're gone and in a relationship, you're
door.
Like, ooh, okay,
it does
now
tick
it's
on a new
time
chapter,
for me
right?
to move on.
I like that. Okay.
Yep.
All right, I love our relationship part here, you guys. Here's a relationship segment that's ready to get you fired up. It had me fired up yesterday. So a Canadian politician posted this photo of his wife shoveling snow outside of their home. And this is the caption. Even after a 12-hour night shift at the hospital last night, my wife still had the energy to shovel the driveway. God bless her and all our frontliners. Time to make her some breakfast. This tweet is still up. I want y'all to know this tweet is still up. He has not had the wherewithal to delete it.
I have a question. Do we know about his circumstances? Is he incapacitated? Is he unable to shovel the walk?
He's able to make breakfast.
He better be is all I'm saying.
People were upset because, I saw a lot of commenters who said, my husband used to do this and I had to leave him.
Oh,
I've seen this woman worked a 12-hour shift. My question is, why when she was at that 12-hour shift were you not shoveling the driveway?
I'm going to keep the faith. I have to believe there's a reason why he couldn't go out and shovel the walk.
I want y'all to know that he also tweeted the same day and was up at 2 a.m. watching sports and was up watching a soccer match and was saying, staying up late.
Huh? How do you know the man was up at 2
a.m.?
You know what? First of all, someone needs to take his phone away because clearly he don't know how to do stuff properly, okay?
You got away with this. Just go sit down.
The wife did come in. I think she tried to help him. She actually created a Twitter account just to address the controversy.
To defend him?
And she said, all I wanted to do was shovel. Girl, bye.
Please. And I think in his mind, he thought by saying, well, I'm going to make her breakfast, that gave him like the nice guy look. You know
he
what I'm saying?
He was giving her props by saying she worked a 12-hour shift.
Right.
And then went out and shoveled the walk. Maybe that was her exercise. Maybe she wanted to.
It could have been. She said that's all she wanted to do. Girl, you're fooling yourself.
What you wanted was a hot bath after your 12-hour shift.
You wanted to come home to a 12-hour shift, have it shoveled, and have some food waiting for you after a 12-hour shift, being a frontliner.
Right. But then again, we don't know the dynamics of the relationship.
Right.
Maybe she likes to shovel. Maybe that relaxes her. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Because I'm just like...
Or, maybe she just likes being congratulated on Twitter instead of in real life. Good luck and God bless to the both of them. Here's another story that has a lot of people divided. So a woman asked Reddit if she was wrong for being upset that her husband ran a background check on her. Mm. So she found a folder on his laptop containing full reports on her, not only her, but her whole family. Her husband of 3 years said he did it before they got married. He said it's no big deal.
I'm with him.
You are.
Listen, unless they were connected by through people that they know, what the heck does he know about this woman that he just met?
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Discovery. I am with him, and everyone should do that because that's one way
to know if you're
connecting with a lunatic.
You can do it quick on a Google search. You can get things pretty quickly now online.
Yes, you can Google someone and see things like he was arrested for fraud.
Yeah,
you know.
You can. This just happened. I actually had a friend who went on a date with a girl and then found out that she had 6 DUIs.
Whoa, that's a major discovery. Yes. And I think a lot of times when men do certain things, they're frowned upon, whereas when women do it, it's like, good job. You should absolutely do a background check. Background check, social media check.
Yeah.
See what friends you have mutual on Facebook.
I like doing it. It's fun.
Right?
My friends call me.
Maybe she would have felt better if they had talked about it before an open forum. Mm-hmm. Because I think it should be mutual.
Right.
Yeah.
The same way when you're getting ready to take it to the next level, you say, have you been tested? Have you been?
Thing there's something
days.
Bigger with this story because what was she doing in his laptop in the first place?
Hello.
Looking
there's
at folders.
A bigger issue in this relationship about
look
trusting
at the relationship
communication.
I think you're
She's
Monique, looking,
you're on Google because I didn't even think about the fact that she was snooping.
Yeah.
So there was clearly something there. But I agree. I think these days if you're getting set up on a date, you know, especially in 2022, I think it's natural to look for their Instagram, look for their, and if you start to see, I even look at like sometimes who the person is following. Mm-hmm. Who's our mutuals?
Check the hashtags too. You really learn a lot about the hashtags.
If you want to learn how to lurk, you talking to the three people. You're talking to the lurking queens over here, okay, honey? We will keep you together and out of trouble, okay? All right, you guys, we got to take a break. But when we come back, Kate Middleton turns 40 and how she celebrated and honored Princess Diana on her big day. We'll be right back. Welcome back. So Kate Middleton reached a milestone. She turned 40 years old. The royal family shared 3 new portraits for her birthday. Wow. Kate looked beautiful in Alexander McQueen dresses. She wore jewelry from the Queen and Princess Diana. She reportedly kept her birthday celebration just very small, but we're going to go big. All right. So here are just a few of the reasons we adore the Duchess of Cambridge.
She may be a duchess, but Kate's fashion always has us saying, yes, queen. The birthday girl has an expert eye rocking every color in the rainbow. And did you see those dazzling shoes? Kate always has the perfect pump and handbag. And don't forget hats.
It's such a special time with you and doing it in Charlotte, just having had their birthdays. It's such a great time.
When it comes to her kids, she's a hands-on mom.
check her out at Pippa's wedding, keeping all the kids quiet. Mama Kate doesn't mess around when it comes to tantrums. Just ask George and Charlotte. And she wasn't about to let Louie have a bad photo op in 2017.
Any parent, I think, would probably sort of know what this feeling feels like.
So. Very special.
Kate sparkles with the royal jewels, wearing some of the Queen's most iconic pieces, like this stunning Cartier necklace, the same Elizabeth wore in 1955. The Queen also loaned Kate her beautiful brooches, earrings, and tiaras, including one Princess Diana once wore. And of course, Kate is reminded of her late mother-in-law every day when she looks down at her ring.
Oh, he's a true romantic.
Kate may be one of the most famous women on the planet, but she's also very relatable. From shopping for groceries, to packing homemade lunches for her kids, to dropping her kids off at school. And the fifth reason we love Kate?
My own commitment is to the youngest and most vulnerable in the early years.
She understood the assignment when she became Duchess by always giving back.
How can we all really support the earliest years of life, build foundations, and help avoid adversity later on in life?
She frequently visits kids in the hospital, shows support for the armed forces, and stops to talk to her fans when she sees them in public. Happy birthday, Kate!
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, love Kate. Her. Mona called you a baby, so.
Only she's a baby.
Yes, you've got a lot of growing to do, girl. Congratulations on your birthday. All right, you guys, up next, why you can't cancel Jessica Simpson. We're gonna get into that right after the break. Well, apparently Jessica Simpson can do no wrong. So Bloomberg Businessweek did a big feature on Jessica's billion-dollar fashion empire. And one expert said, what makes Jessica Teflon is that people got to know her on Newlyweds. Mm-hmm. So they were saying there's nothing that she could do or say that would shock her fans. I don't know if that's true.
I don't think that's absolutely true.
I don't know
true.
If that's true. They're saying she can't get canceled. Anybody can get canceled.
Anybody could get canceled. Ask Chrissy Teigen.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing I will say about Jessica is the reason she was one of the first kind of celebs right. for the sake, social media celebs, right? Mm-hmm. Even though it was right before social media, we fell in love with her. She was so relatable.
Yeah.
She was just like us. Yeah. She thought tuna was chicken.
Right.
You know, and it was funny and it was cute. So yes, I think there's a lot of grace given, mm-hmm. but I do not believe that she can say anything
agreed.
And get away with anything.
I don't agree no. with that either. I think she can say silly things.
Yes.
You know, you can talk about
she can't
chicken
say nothing.
Of the
crazy.
Right.
And not get
but
canceled.
Let's not go yeah. too crazy though.
And that's the difference. And let's not forget, she is the whole package. She's not just famous for being famous. She can sing. She has a billion-dollar empire. Like, she is the full deal. And she's still endearing and relatable, even when she admitted to her substance abuse problems with alcohol and things like that.
Right.
So she's relatable, but to your point,
yeah.
you say the wrong thing.
Right.
Tweet the wrong thing.
Because people were saying that she's famous for being famous, and I don't agree with that.
No.
She had a whole singing career.
Yes, but she's one of, you know what? She built a brand. She
yeah.
was one of the first instances
yeah.
of a brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily know that because she was a singer, but she sang, she acted, mm-hmm. she was comedic, she was self-deprecating, and she managed to create a Jessica Simpson brand.
Mm-hmm.
That spoke to all of those things.
Yeah.
You know? And the clothing was cute. I wore the shoes for many
years.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, I love the Jessica Simpson
shoes. That's really
shoe.
Who I, when I looked at the Nina Parker collection, I was like, this is who.
Yes,
it wasn't
exactly.
these fancy, like, runway brands. It was like, what is the brand that you can see in everyone?
And although Nina Parker stuff is yeah, fancy and runway.
Yes,
girl.
It is very
thank
cute,
very
honey.
But yes, it's just, you know, I think she... I mean, we have to give her credit where credit
is due. Absolutely.
Having a billion-dollar company, you can't do that if you're a fool.
She was, before the Kardashians, I will say that, before
yes.
that whole mega, you know, empire, Jessica had one of the first ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I agree completely.
And recently, I believe, and I don't know the whole logistics of it, but she kind of bought things back because she had kind of
good
sold part
her.
Of her company, so she bought it mm-hmm. back. So listen, you guys, she's doing her thing. We did our thing today, ladies. Thank you so much. For joining
thank
us
you.
And
yes.
making this Monday happen. You guys set your DVR and do your thing and make sure you catch this show tomorrow. We are going to catch up with This Is Us star Milo Ventimiglia, and we're going to talk to Bella Hadid as well, telling us all about her famous family and the major change that she is making for 2022. Catch me on Nightly Pop tonight at 11:30 and join us back here at 11 a.m. for Daily Pop. I'll see you guys later. Have a good one.
You are working.